20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. In just a moment, we're going to be joined by Justice Mosqueda. We nerd out for over an hour on all things Green Bay Packers, as you can imagine. Stick around for that, especially the ending where we get into detail on the J.J. McCarthy experience so far, which has not been great for Minnesota. So stick around for that real quick before we get there. Injury reports for both teams. Minnesota did not practice, so these are all estimated. Christian Darrisaw, Aaron Jones, and Ryan Kelly were full participants, or at least would have been for Minnesota. Will Fries and Jonathan Grenard would not have practiced. Those are two big-time players, their starting guard and their starting defensive end. So keep an eye on those two throughout the course of the week. For Green Bay, Jordan Love and Brandon McManus were full participants. Make of the McManus thing what you will. The whole kicking situation is so damn weird, but great to see Jordan Love and, I guess, Brandon McManus too as full participants on Wednesday. Limited were Javon Bullard, Edgerrin Cooper, Romeo Doubs, Matthew Golden, Keyshawn Nixon, Micah Parsons, Zach Tom, LVN, Christian Watson, and Dontavian Wicks, just 10 players limited, as well as five who did not practice, including Carl Brooks, Nate Hobbs, Josh Jacobs, Quay Walker, and Savion Williams. Meanwhile, no players returned to practice from IR, meaning Jaden Reed remained on injured reserve, did not open that 21-day window. And then Marshawn Lloyd, Brenton Cox, and Colin Oliver all stayed on their respective injury lists as well. So no returns. We'll have to see on Thursday if we get any better news, any upgrades, any players returning from injury, etc. But that was your injury report for Wednesday. Grades will be up later in the day on Thursday, as will the grades video. So keep an eye out if you haven't checked yet that little box yet on YouTube, so you're getting notifications every time a new video comes out. We're doing two-a-days a lot of these now, so make sure those notifications are turned on. But grades will be up later in the day on Thursday. And for now, enjoy the show with the one and only Justice Mosqueda. All right, it is time. The one and only Justice Mosqueda. You can find him on social media at JUMOSQ, acmepackingcompany.com. Nobody does it better. Justice, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm swell. It is a busy time of year. We not only do we have crazy like holiday season plus Packer season, we have a ton of birthdays between basically end of October and beginning of January. Plus we've got a bunch of friends stuff. So it just gets very, very hectic, Justice.
My birthday is on Thanksgiving week, so it always like rotates whether it's on or off on Thanksgiving and stuff like that. And people are asking me like, what do you want? And I'm like, Doug, I am about to be 32 years old. I don't need more stuff. You see all this crap I got back here? You think I bought any of this? No.
Come take some of this stuff away. Come take
that. I need less stuff. Just take me out to a beer or something like that. Show your face to me.
Here's the big question. Where are we at on the family understanding of there's a Packer game on Thanksgiving and you cover?
They're fully aware.
Okay. All right.
They're fully aware. They're fully aware, and no, it's all good. Yeah. All that stuff. I think, cause we're going. So Addie's sister just had a kid. I think I brought this up on this before. So we're going out for like a full like week and a half because she's coming up from the Bay. Nice. And we're going to her parents' house and we're just going to post up there. I work from home anyway, right? So, doesn't change my stuff at all, but yeah, there's going to be an overlapping like post baby shower type or baby review. I don't know what the heck they're calling it type of thing that's going on at the same time as this Packers Vikings game. And I was like, folks. So it goes from like 2 to like 5. And I'm like, I'm going to be dead until 3. After 3, you can have me, but I'm going to be dead until 3.
I know those conversations / feelings very, very well.
Give and take.
That's why I had to double check, make sure we're good for Thanksgiving watching Packers Lions. It's a big one. We'll get to there next week as well. Let's talk a little bit about Packers Giants. Obviously, a lot of people have had the opportunity to touch base on it quite a bit already, but just kind of key takeaways from this past week. They got a win.
They did better in some aspects than I thought, and they did worse in some aspects than I thought. I honestly thought they would have run the ball better. Obviously, when Josh Jacobs goes down, things can change quickly. It certainly could have been a lot worse with a backup running back in there. I think what Emmanuel Wilson had, like, I think it was like 35 snaps to 5 snaps with Chris Brooks. So it was all Emmanuel Wilson once Josh Jacobs went out, basically. They did the thing that we talked about in the passing game. We talked about it. They couldn't throw outside short because they couldn't get yak yards. They couldn't throw over the ball because the Eagles were tipping passes and were trying to stop the over the ball stuff, which, by the way, if you guys watch Eagles Lions, Eagles didn't just do that for us. They did a pretty good job of it against the Jared Goff and the Detroit Lions too. We couldn't throw deep for the most part, you know, throughout the season because teams are playing deep zones. We couldn't throw intermediate because the intermediate guys are bailing just like the deep zone guys are. So we had to attack the intermediate outside, and that wasn't really in Matt's DNA, and he switched it up this week. And if you look at the Jordan Love passing chart, that's exactly what they did. And they did some really interesting stuff to get into those looks. So it was something around like 18% of the plays. They lined up a running back or a tight end as an outside receiver, which is like double the rate of what they've done previously this year. Usually they only do that in like empty looks, right? Yep. To get like, you know, Romeo in the slot or something like that. But they were doing it out of kind of like standard looks. I mean, damn near what, like 1 out of 5 plays in this game. And they were doing it specifically to get guys like Romeo, guys like Christian Watson in the slot, and to be able to run those intermediate routes. And then you just have a tight end or a running back running those kind of runoff routes to just kind of, exhaust someone in zone coverage, if that kind of makes any sense. Now you got to come down with those catches, right? That was a big problem in this game. Not necessarily just on the sideline, but over the middle too. But they definitely switched up their tendencies and stuff. I'm more optimistic about their passing game moving forward. Again, I think even though the stats aren't the best, I think Love has played really good football over the last 3 weeks. I know people have pushed back on me on the Eagles thing. I think if you watch the all 22, your mind kind of changes a little bit on that one. Yeah. I am still worried about the run game though. I know Aaron Banks got like the best grade ever. For what he did in the run game this week, but that Giants line was not good. And I was expecting a little bit more. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the Vikings this week.
What did you think specifically on offense? First of all, what did you think of the offensive line this week? I thought, again, I think you have to take into consideration it's the Giants defensive line from a run stopping standpoint. Yeah. Sean Ryan got nuked a couple times by Dexter Lawrence, which is apt to happen when you're going against Dexter Lawrence.
Yeah.
But I thought overall there were a couple signs this week of like, and again, maybe it's just Giants, but it looked a little bit more cohesive, a little bit better to me this week than it has in some other weeks. But again, maybe opponent goes into that.
Yeah, for sure. I think there was still a little bit of pressure. Like they were turning some guys loose a little bit sometimes.
It's a problem. And
yeah, the thing that I'm worried the most about now on the offensive line, to tell you the truth, is the Sean Ryan snaps. Because, you know, a lot of this was explained away as, the wind impacting shotgun snaps and stuff. Is that a first for you? Because that's a first for me. I don't think
I've never heard wind for shotgun snaps before. Yeah, I've never heard that.
As someone who's like where I grew up, again, like mountains in Oregon from glacier runoffs, right? Like I'm just like in a valley, massive valley, right? It's just a giant like
wind tunnel.
Yeah, it's just a giant wind tunnel. I played center there in a shotgun offense. I don't know if that would have flown for me. In high school.
Sorry, coach. Sorry, it hit his ankle. Wind was bad today.
Yeah. So, like, I think Orzic having the funky snap, and then, well, I guess two funky snaps. One of them just went high. And then the kicker, you know, both kickers not having a great day kind of helped build this narrative of like, so windy, so windy, so windy. And I'm like,
If that's the case, then we need to give Jordan Love even a better grade, and James Winston for that matter. If we can't get it to the quarterback of the shotgun, but we're completing 30 plus yard passes down the field, then his grade even needs to go up even further this week, I guess.
Yeah. So I'm like, I'm not hitting the red button. I'm not hitting danger, but I am on alert. I'm on alert for Sean Ryan might not be able to snap these footballs because we haven't really seen him in that much action at center outside of practices and I think a little bit in the preseason, but I don't think he did it in college. He was a tackle in college.
Yeah, no, for sure. He was a tackle in college. Yeah. Tackle, yeah. Guess we're just gonna have to go more under center, Justice. More under center offense. That's the only solution. Maybe they can go pistol. Maybe you can get it there in the wind if you go pistol. Maybe that's enough distance away.
I mean, if you want to talk about this Vikings game a little bit, I think they're going to try to run on early downs because I don't think they want to see those mug fronts. And, you know, the mug fronts with the two linebackers walked up in the A gaps and all that stuff. And Minnesota's defense hasn't been the same this year, but, like, that doesn't mean that they can't catch on fire in any individual game, right? Like,
yeah.
As long as Flores is still calling plays, I still believe that those guys are going to be able to do it, right? So I think they're going to try to keep it, you know, third manageable, all that stuff. And people will probably get mad about that, but I think that's kind of the way that you want to play against this Vikings team. I think one of the interesting things, too, is, like, you want to know how to stop the mug front stuff? You run at it.
Yeah.
If they're going to have a, you know, Eric Wilson's going to be playing in this game, lining up in the A-gap.
Yeah.
And he's got, you know, Aaron Banks has got 100 pounds on him and he doesn't even have to climb up, you know, do anything.
He's right there.
Shifty. It's right there. I have 100-pound advantage on you right there. So we should be able, I mean, I'm sure Matt's going to give us a little bit more, you know, third and long, second and long runs in this game than you would against a normal team. Right. I also think, you know, we kind of thought about this the same way with, like, the Cleveland Browns, where it's, like, they're going to be this hyper-aggressive team, all this stuff. The Browns really didn't do that. So, like, I don't know, maybe we get a completely different look from Minnesota. They have a one-week defense just for the Green Bay Packers because they don't trust our run game. But if they are still that hyper-aggressive team and stuff, I think this team is going to want to pound the rock. I think that's what we're going to want to do. Because the other answer is, like, okay, they're, you know, rolling safeties. They're trying to hold disguise, all that stuff. You're putting all these guys at the line of scrimmage. What do? You throw screens. We're not getting yak right now. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think that's what you want to live in is the screens. We'll see where Golden's at, but he could be maybe somebody that gives you some run after the catch. They didn't even throw him the ball in practice today. He was limited that much. So that's something to be concerned about. We'll get to this maybe a little bit too. We can meander around all over the place like we usually do. So it doesn't really matter of order of operations here. But I am curious from like a Packers standpoint, if they would almost welcome anything other than the soft defense cover two at this point. Like Flores, bring your stuff. We're looking forward to seeing anything besides what we've seen for 8 weeks straight. Or if they almost are hoping that they just do the same teams that are like, I think it could almost be a nice change of pace for Green Bay. And like Matt's had good stuff for Brian in the past, but yeah, it's going to be interesting.
No, for sure. And I mean, when they get those opportunities, they take shots, right? Like even, man, was it our last offensive drive run shot play?
Deep shot. Yeah, that was a three and out. That was a deep three and out for sure. Had that.
Yeah, which I know that there's fans that are like, "Where are you trying to gain 40 yards on a play where you only need to move 2 yards to move the chains?" And it's like, because that's the only way that this team is going to avoid having to convert like 5 third downs. To have a scoring drive, right?
Yep.
I think if you're going to call a shot there, you have to be willing to go for it on fourth down. I think that's the way it makes sense to me. And I know, you know, it would have been 4th and 2, and some people will say 4th and 2, go for it every single time. And then some people will say the field position, you know, you're giving them in a real good spot. So I don't know what you want the answer there. But I think if you're going to take the shot, you got to be willing to go for it on fourth in that spot.
Yeah.
But those
the
third and shorts are really like the only times that they're getting singled up and, you know, people are stacking the box and all that stuff. So like, I don't blame them for taking shots in those situations.
You got really to at don't. Some point. You have to at some point. You want the advantageous look. Absolutely. So,
that's the world we're living in. So if we can get those on first downs, cause the Vikings are blitzing and doing all this funky stuff. Yeah. I'm sure Matt will just like long exhale and just be like, damn, okay. It's not just covered. I'm not playing Tampa 2 over and over and over again.
My favorite thing is like everyone we'll get on Matt for just, hey, well, you have no spine, you have no backbone, like stay aggressive. Like we need to stay aggressive even when you're winning the game. And then like third and two deep shot, it's like, why are you being so aggressive? Just pick up the first down. Why are you going down the field? It's like, do you want him to go for the kill or do you not want him to go for the kill? Like which one? You just want the play to work. You just want the play to work is what you want.
I get it. Yeah. I mean, it does kind of, that's why I think you, especially in that situation, you had to have been okay with going for it on fourth down because your defense needed a rest. I mean, they had just played like 30 snaps.
Where were we at that point? Where it was on?
We were at like the 25. It was not a good spot. It was somewhere in that area.
You had to basically punt at that point for the most part.
You could have.
Yeah, I guess, suppose.
Yeah. But yeah.
It'd be, yeah, I will always, if you get, I didn't think they got the most advantageous look in that situation. At least, I don't know. Was that the golden one? Maybe that was the golden one that he was like almost. Oh, you're right. Yeah. I don't know. Those are always difficult decisions. And I'm always for, hey, if you get the one-on-one look on the outside and it's the look that you want, go for it, take the shot. And I'm totally cool with it. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. I want to ask about your guy, Mr. Strong Hands, Romeo Doubs.
It's always funny when people figure out that it's like semi out of sarcasm, the Strong
Hands. No, I know. I'm aware.
No, I know you're aware, but people learn every week and they're like, come to the realization. They're like, oh, it's because he makes difficult catches and then also drops like some pretty easy balls.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, because people say he has good hands, but I'm like, Strong Hands is probably a better way to say it. Good hands is not how I would describe it. It's very volatile, no matter what the type of pass is.
Extremely volatile. Something just feels a little bit off. He had some good plays in this game. I liked his block on the touchdown run by Wilson, or at least he got in the way in that play. Just the last few weeks, I haven't been super, super enamored, not just with the drops, but even with some of the route running stuff, just hasn't seemed quite as crisp for Romeo. They got to, like, especially with Reed out, with Kraft out. I know Watson's back and cooking a little bit, but they need him to convert those plays. I would count it as three drops in this game for Romeo. That was a tough showing.
And he's had these over the last couple, like what Carolina, he had one that was arguably could have been a touchdown, right?
Yep.
He's had some that have cost him. The Eagles game, the Packers had a bunch of drops over the middle of the field too. So. Yes. Yeah, I mean, that was kind of my point when I was talking about like the Eagles game and people were like, what do you mean Jordan Love played well? I'm like, well, sometimes the only route that's open has defenders that have their hands up like this in between them. And then the other times you go through his incompletion reel and you're like, that's a drop. Like half of these are drops. So, yeah, it's not been great. Firmly on not worried about Jordan Love. He is like one of three players that I'm not worried about at this point. It's like him, Micah, and Daniel Whelan. But outside of that, yeah, guys
one on each unit. That's what you want. Star on offense, defense, and special teams. You're all set.
Yeah, that's it. That's all we need, right?
I think so. I think so.
You sound like the Packers board hiring coaches. You got one coach on defense that we pay, one coach on special teams that we pay, one coach on offense. We're good, right?
We're good to go. That's all we need. That's all you need. What more could you possibly want? They need more from Romeo. It's been a little bit of a struggle. It has not been a great year for Packers in contract years, like I was kind of hoping for. Rashid has not been great. Sean Ryan has not been great. Romeo has not been great. Quay's been mostly okay. I don't think he's had like a complete like breakout year though, by any stretch of the imagination. Who am I missing? I feel like there's a couple more. Elton's like was basically in like a contract year, even though he wasn't, he was not great. And then he got hurt. Yeah. For some of these players that I'm like, we're going to get the best versions of them because they're in contract years. It hasn't exactly worked out that way. We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now, the weather might be changing, but the feeling of being right never, ever, ever gets old. So keep the season rolling on Prize Picks by getting $50 in lineups instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. Now, it's time to start getting ready for Week 12 as Green Bay takes on Minnesota to try and get some momentum in the NFC North. This needs to be a big win for Green Bay, and I'm going with Micah Parsons to terrorize the Minnesota offense. Elsewhere in Week 12, I'm going with big games from Jonathan Taylor, Breece Hall, and Drake May. Here's the best part. Prize Picks is super simple. Just pick more or less on at least two player stats. If you get your picks right, you could cash in. And even better, how you play is completely up to you. If you want flexibility, choose Flex Play, where you can get paid even if one of your picks misses. And if you want the biggest payouts, go for the power play. No matter how you play, Prize Picks is a great way to put your takes to the test. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget that code PACKADAY, Prize Picks. It's good to be right. Hey friends, I've got some great news for you. I've got part of your holiday shopping already taken care of. I am absolutely obsessed with my new Ridge wallet, and it's going to make an absolutely perfect holiday gift for just about everyone in your life. It's also a perfect gift suggestion for yourself as well. I'll be honest, I was just about done with wallets. I suffer from back pain, which doesn't help. Plus, they are clunky to carry around, and I just don't even like having a wallet with me. That was until I discovered Ridge. Ridge is known for their unique, slim, and modern wallets. And Ridge has been perfecting the wallet for 12 years, and their new Ridge 2.0 is 10% lighter. Plus, they have over 50 colors and styles to choose from, including every NFL, MLB, or college team. And I just know that that Packers one is already calling out to you. Now, Ridge is over 100,000 five-star reviews, and with their Ridge Tracker card, you'll always know exactly where it is before panic mode kicks in. And right now, for a limited time, Ridge is having their huge holiday sale. Head to RIDGE.com to get 47% off your order. This is by far the biggest discount they've given all year. That's RIDGE.com, Ridge.com, for up to 47% off your order during their biggest sale of the year. And after you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them Packaday sent you.
Did you see the Silverstein report? Of all the expected contracts.
I have it bookmarked. I've not had the chance to read it.
It's pretty interesting. So it was a lot of stuff that I've brought up in the past. So like the Dobbs market value is around Khalil Shakir, which
makes
like
total sense.
Yeah. $13 million a year. Malik Willis, it was like minimum $5 million up to $8 million, which is kind of what backup quarterbacks are now. Tyson Bagent got $5 million. He has thrown six passes over the last 2 years. If he can get five. Yeah. Anyone with a pulse is going to get five moving forward. Rashid Walker, they didn't go all the way up to 20 million, but it was right on the warning stripe of 20 million, which is what Dan Moore got. Quay Walker, they said the market value is going to be like 13 to 15, which makes sense because every linebacker last year who was a second contract guy got 15. I think that they're going to get that done eventually. I don't know why we turned down the fifth-year option when it was less than 15, when he's probably going to get 15. Sean Ryan, the sources for Spoons, just kind of threw their hands up and were like, could be three if he sucks, could be eight if he doesn't suck, you know, the second half of the year. So, I don't know how to project that one. And then he didn't bring up Enagbare, but Enagbare will get enough to be a comp pick. So like Eric Wilson, I think signed for like 2.5, and that qualifies the Packers for a comp pick in the seventh round right now. So
yeah,
that should be part of the formula. So if they bring back Quay, which I think that they'll do, then they'll have five comp picks. They can only get four of them. So you could theoretically bring back Quay, bring back Sean Ryan, and then you're at four comp picks. And by the way, spoilers, folks, I don't think the Packers are touching free agency this year because they're not going to try to offset those. They're not going to try to offset those compensatory.
Unless they get five and sign a, you know,
yes, minimum, if they get five, they could sign like a guy who's worth like $2.5 million without offsetting like a six that you would get for like Sean Ryan or something like that.
Yeah. Or if they're not worried about offsetting a four and they'll just take a seventh and instead. But yeah,
they should be worried about offsetting the four when you're done. Two firsts, and they're down to seventh next year, too, or in 2027, too, for the Kennard trade.
I think the Packers, again, they're not going to have a ton. Well, I don't know. I think they might get creative with opening up space, but if so, keep an eye on players who are released, not actual unrestricted free agents.
Yeah, I would look at trades, too, because, like, if they trade Gary, I bet they use that cap space, not in free agency. They would use it to extend Wyatt, who's going to be like an obstacle for them this year, right? Because he's going to get that $15 million, but it's all going to hit on this year's cap. So if you want to sign him to a multi-year deal, you'll do it this offseason. Kraft, they're going to want to get him done. So like those are both going to cost money. And then, yeah, I mean, really, not to get too deep into the cap stuff right now, but really the way that you guys got to think about this from a Packers team, because I think some Packers fans think like all in is all in perpetuity. No. Yep. There's going to like I said, it's going to be like an even odd year type of thing. Almost. It's going to be in odd years, we're adding players, in even years, we're losing players and getting comp picks. And that's just sort of how it's going to work. So this upcoming offseason is going to be more about getting your house in order, making sure you have the contracts that you want for 2027 locked in, so that if guys, you know, you don't want a Tucker Kraft leaving in free agency and getting a fourth round comp pick, because you're probably going to have a little bit of money to play around and you're going to offset that thing. So you're going to lose Tucker Kraft for nothing, right?
Yep.
It's sort of the way that the Philadelphia Eagles do everything, where they're like, okay, in years where we're not trying to add anything in free agency and we're losing players, we need to be in the trade market instead of being in the free agency market. So I think that's what it's going to end up looking like for the Packers.
And Eagles have gone very aggressive in the trade market this offseason, and then value free agents, you know, things like that.
They get those picks because they don't enter free agency.
Yep.
Because they lose Milton Williams, right? They're like, okay, we're okay with losing Milton Williams and getting the pick because we're going to turn that pick into a veteran later down the line.
Turned it into Jalen Phillips, because they traded a third for Jalen Phillips. They're going to get a third comp for Milton Williams. So
right. But if you, you know, blow your load in free agency and you try to make it up in free agency, all you're doing is canceling out comp picks. And your level of talent isn't doing anything. So
no, for sure. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how Green Bay handles that. Just going to offense for just a moment. What do you do at tight end? What's your tight end solution moving forward?
Dude, I don't know. Cause I got the snaps at the end of the first half, and then I got the snaps at the end of the second half. And I was like, oh crap, Luke Musgrave only played two snaps.
Yeah, it felt like he got benched.
Yeah. And then Matt comes out and is like, yeah, I already told the staff, like, we got to fix that. He's got to be playing more. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, it sure seemed like when you guys wanted to run the ball and do play action stuff, like, you guys wanted Wiley and John Fitzpatrick and even Darian Kennard in there and not Musgrave. Do you need to?
Nope.
Do you need to? Or are you just trying to, like, justify this stuff? That's the problem, man. Like, sometimes – One of the best things about Matt early on, I thought, was him just riding the hot hand and being like, oh, Tyler Irvin can do some like weird stuff. Let's ride this Tyler Irvin thing until it like stops working.
Yeah.
I have not seen a reason why Musgrave is the hot hand over the last 2 years, right? Like, I don't understand where this momentum is coming from. And like, that's one of the reasons why I'm worried that like, Nate Hobbs could get healthy, and then like Carrington Valentine is benched again. And it's like, he's clearly our best coverage corner. He's been our best coverage corner for 3 years. And we're just doing this in perpetuity just because this other guy was a high investment. And we imagine him one day being better than this guy instead of just playing the guy who was better this very second. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that there's every once in a while there's something in like the press conference that like I'll be doing something, and then like all of a sudden I'm sorry, what did you say? Like you feel like you have to play Luke Musgrave more based on what exactly? I didn't understand that one. I don't mind it being like, if you want to do a rotation or whatever, but it felt like for the first
certain spot, there's for sure things that Musgrave does better than John Fitzpatrick, no doubt. Correct. But lining up as an inline tight end, like they're doing most of the time, is not
one of them.
Yeah, that's not it.
And it's certainly not throwing to him in the flat. If you're going to do any of the throwing him into the flat stuff, just get rid of that entirely.
I mean, Wiley's good at it. I mean, Wiley's got movement skills and stuff. Like,
yeah, use him. I joked with Mike Wall this week. I'm like, can you build a modern offense without a tight end? Can you just go sixth offensive line? Can you go do some run and shoot stuff? Can you build this thing without a tight end? Can you make it work somehow? I'm still workshopping that. What's that?
Not this offense.
No, yeah, not this offense.
Not this offense. Nuh-uh.
It's going to take quite the evolution in order for something like that to happen. Anything else on offense before we kick over to defense?
No, I thought it was interesting that they said today Belton has been kicking inside in some of these practices. That's something
Thank that you. We I meant to bring that up.
So, I wouldn't hate it. Honestly, I wouldn't. Like, if you want to bench Morgan, I'm cool with that. Because, like, the narrative coming into training camp, do you remember, was Morgan and Rashid are going to rotate at left tackle. It was never Morgan is going to rotate at right guard throughout the season. Like, that's never what this was supposed to be.
And they're very clearly open to competition and rotations. So rotate Belton and Morgan, even if it's like 80-20, even if it's 80-20 for Morgan, like get Belton in for 15 snaps and just see what that looks like at right guard. Feel it out. Why not? Why the hell not?
Yeah. I mean, unless you don't think that he could handle it or something like that. But again, ultimately, I think Morgan is going to end up playing outside in 26 and Belton's going to end up playing inside in 26. So
can both of them be backups in 26? Is that an option that could happen?
Where are we getting draft picks, man?
I don't know.
Where are we getting draft picks? We got two.
I'm sure Rashawn Gary's going to get a big haul. Rashawn Gary trade is going to be massive. Maybe, but do you
remember the report on what the highest pick that the Bengals were offered for the Trey Hendrickson trade at the deadline?
No, what was it? A four? That's wild.
Because you're trading for the contract too, and he's an agent player. Gary's going to be in the same spot.
No, for sure. I don't expect. I said it starts at day three when anyone talked about a Gary trade. I don't think it's anything above that.
Maybe a third. Maybe if you do it early enough in the offseason and people can get their ducks in order and all
that. You know what, though? I will say this. Rashawn Gary has been very good at run defense. I know a certain owner that loves defenders who are really good at run defense. So I'm just saying, maybe there's something there.
Go for it. Yeah, Jerry.
Jerry's got a lot of Jerry's got some Packers first round picks. There are at least one still left to play around with. So
Jerry, I think he's a little short on picks now too, though, right?
With the I think so.
Trade and
we got to start getting the word out there that Rashawn's amazing at run defense, just the best run defensive end in all football. Jerry Jones, if you're listening, he's amazing.
No one show him the clip of Jalen Hurts just running around.
Yeah, we don't yet.
Rashawn Gary.
Nothing to see there. Speaking of Rashawn Gary, you posted some of the quick pressure rate stuff. It's not great. Not great for Rashawn Gary.
Yeah, and I see people getting really nitpicky about like what quick pressure is and why we should care about it. Here's why you should care about it. Jameis Winston, who's known as like, I hold the ball, I throw the ball deep guy against us, had a time to throw of 2.5 seconds in this last game. Quick pressures are measured 3 seconds or less. Why do I care about pressures that you create 4 seconds into a play?
Yeah.
We know these guys at the combine cover 40 yards in 4 seconds, right?
Yep.
So I don't really care if Micah Parsons is creating pressure and then six other guys get credit for pressures that he initiated because the quarterback had to step up and was off his time. I want to know who's impacting a quarterback. And that's what these quick pressures measure. As far as quick pressure rate goes, basically Gary had one great year. And that year, unfortunately, was his contract year. Now, obviously, like the injury, all that stuff comes into play with all that stuff, too. But there is no one who has fewer quick pressures this year and more pass rush opportunities than Rashawn Gary right now. Lucas Van Ness at the pace that he was at would have basically like doubled what Rashawn Gary did. He's not doing well right now at all. He's just not. And especially the way that this teams are attacking this Packers defense. So much of it is just get the ball out quick. It's not full field progressions, all that stuff. If you're not creating pressure quickly, it doesn't really matter because everyone is trying to get the ball out instantly. So if you can't do that, it's not looking good for you in this Micah Parsons world.
Heck, even Micah is getting these super quick pressures and the ball is still getting out before he gets there. And he's getting double teamed. He's getting double teamed, getting there in like 2.5 seconds and the ball is still out in like 2 seconds in a lot of scenarios where I've seen too. So yeah, it matters. And like the other thing would be too, if Micah was getting there quickly and like Devontae and Wooden and Gary were like collapsing the pocket into you basically like the other side or whatever, like, you know, bull rushing and just kind of collapsing it around. Okay. Like I could maybe live with that a little bit more, but that's not exactly what's happening either. It right now just feels like Micah or bust and you're not seeing a cohesive defensive front where there's a pocket collapsing or everything's breaking down. It's Micah getting pressure. And then the ability for either the quarterback's already got the ball out or the ability to step up in the pocket, find a check down and, or throw the ball away.
Yeah, for sure. I've seen people kind of bring up that theory too, where they're like, well, what if they're like slow playing it? So they capture the quarterback after Mike. And I'm like, okay, then why did Jalen Hurts run around the corner on him a weekend ago? Like, yeah. Did we just forget what we've seen recently? And I understand he's got a bunch of the cleanup sacks and stuff like that. Good for him. And that's going to look great in the stat book, but I don't think it's impacting games very much. Sorry.
No, I don't either. I think, I'll be clear. I don't think Rashawn Gary's playing bad football. I just think it's not to the level that you need it to be for where he's at.
Yeah. He's just making a ton of money.
Yes.
And he's not playing that many snaps. And when he is playing snaps, he's not being very productive as a pass rusher. And that's what you paid him for in the first place. So, yeah, I mean, he's not terrible. He's still an NFL player. There's even start for other teams, but it's not great right now. I mean, Enoch Barre isn't doing great either. LVN's doing a little bit better, and then he gets the added benefit of like he really is a difference maker when he kicks inside and can do some of that interior pressure stuff. Gary just doesn't do any of that.
Yeah. Yep. No, they need to just get him. He needs wins, like, you know, with a little bit more immediacy, and that hasn't been happening. Like you said, worse than anyone else in the league, basically. And it was interesting to see Enoch Barre get one more snap. And that's the other thing too, of like, I don't really care if he plays like one fewer snap than Enoch Barre, but then man, you better come in and play a really good brand of football and be like rested and ready to dominate. That hasn't exactly happened either.
Yeah. There's designated pass rushers around the league that like, they don't play Max Crosby snaps. They don't play Aiden Hutchinson snaps. They don't play Myles Garrett snaps, Micah Parsons snaps, but they're difference makers when they're out there. And we're not, the juice isn't worth the squeeze right now.
It is.
That's what's scary.
Yes, very much so. And I know, you know, you and Ken and others, and I've talked about in the past too, but like my tweet after the game this week is I'm like that the Rashawn Gary 2026 conversation is about to heat up really quick. And then all of a sudden, I think either Hirschhorn or Bukowski had an article on it. I think you guys maybe had an article on it. And then
posted about it like last week a little bit. And then I just like updated the stats.
Gotcha.
But I put them on Twitter and it just kind of caught fire on Twitter. But it's been going on for a while. It's not good. It's a lot of money, guys. It's a lot of money. If they can get off that contract, I think right now, if things don't change, and the first half of the season looks like the second half of the season, if they can get off that contract for a pick, I think that they would do it. They would free up the cap space to be able to do stuff like give the Tucker Kraft extension, rework the Devontae Wyatt contract, maybe potentially sign one of these like $3 million free agent type of guys, right? As filler. Maybe you give that $3 million contract to like Kingsley, right? And you say, okay, we like that. And then we'll take the pick. And then that's also extra cap space in 2027. Maybe we get off the Banks contract. Maybe we get off the Hobbs contract. Oh, now we're in a position where we can actually kind of leverage this roster. If we want to put, you know, the Parsons, the Love deal on credit cards, create more cap space, actually go into the free agent market. And also we have like 10 draft picks now with the comp picks and the Gary trade. Right. So like, that's the kind of scenario. I think people view as like the stopping of aggression in free agency in like 26 means that like the door has been slammed and it is like a 1 year window. And it's way more of like a push, a recalibration, and then the final push. And then it's burn the boats. Like it's going to decay pretty quickly after 27. But if you're conservative in 26, it'll decay at a smaller rate, a slower rate, I guess I should say.
Looking at Tankathon, Packers currently set for pick 56 in the second round right now.
Yeah, we have two in the top 120, right?
Oh boy. Oy vey.
I think so. We have two in the top 120, and that's why people are like, well, in the draft, we're going to be able to add a cornerback, a starting defensive tackle, two starting offensive linemen. And I'm like,
yeah, you have to have one of the great drafts of all time if you're gonna. They had a lot of picks this year, and right now you're getting 15 snaps out of Golden. You're getting a nice 30-yard reception out of Savion Williams. You're getting nothing out of Belton. You're getting about 10 snaps per game from Baron Sorrell. Brinson's playing eight snaps here or there, somewhere on there.
Yeah.
Colin Oliver's out. John Williams is out. Who am I missing? Anybody?
No, because so. Micah's gone, right? So,
yeah, Micah Robinson is gone. I think that's everyone. So, yeah, you just had a full helping of draft picks, and that you're not getting a ton of 2025 impacts from it.
Yeah.
What can you do? You did talk, speaking of Micah, but his position, Micah Robinson, you did have an interesting article on the Packers cornerbacks and if they're actually underrated, Justice. Lead the way.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the same thing that we've talked about for a couple of weeks now, where it's like, do we have a corner problem or do we have a Nate Hobbs problem? Right? Because Nate Hobbs is the one who's actually playing below average. If you look at yards allowed per coverage snap, which is like basically the holy grail for outside corners, right? It's the most consistent stat that you could look at, which is how you should evaluate all these stats, is how easy is it to predict future success based off of past success, right? In it, Carrington Valentine ranks like 20th in the NFL and Keyshawn Nixon is like 34th. So Carrington Valentine is firmly in a CB1 tier, right? Even if it is an average CB1. And then Keyshawn Nixon is right there on the borderline of a CB1, CB2. What that doesn't include is penalties. Keyshawn, obviously, is getting some penalties, right? So that's not thrown into there. I didn't include it just because I don't know where guys are lining up for those penalties. I don't have a database that I can access that to. Sure. So I can't do, were they in the outside corner or were they in the slot when that happened? Because I really just want to do apples to apples comparisons. And then Nate Hobbs is like, I think something like 56th or something like that out of like 69 qualifiers. So, it's looking a lot more like Keyshawn and Carrington Valentine are for the most part fine. And not, it really was a Hobbs issue.
Not that this is everything either. PFF. Carrington Valentine, fifth corner in the end, actually tied for fifth with Trent McDuffie, and Keyshawn Nixon, 29th rated corner.
And that's with all the penalties too.
Yes.
That's tied with all the penalties graded.
Basically tied with Pat Surtain, the second, which is pretty good company to be in.
Do they want to trade? I'll lock it in right now. Do you want to trade Keyshawn right Nixon
for Pat Surtain? You can do this one too. Javon Bullard's 41. Tied with basically with Christian Gonzalez too. So basically we have Patrick Surtain, Christian Gonzalez, and Trent McDuffie is our starting cornerback trio is basically what this is saying.
Andy, want to know a fun fact this week?
Yes.
Remember how I told you Javon Bullard got two series as a 4-3 safety against the Panthers?
And they allowed touchdowns?
We allowed touchdowns on those two drives and only yes. those two drives. In this Giants game, Javon Bullard came in as a 4-3 safety one time, and we gave up a touchdown that one time. I don't need Evan
Williams off the field.
I don't. Like, you could play him in the slot all you want. I still have questions about whether you actually want him in man coverage against some of these teams. Like if Amon Ross St. Brown is lined up against him, you have a man call. That's a bad idea. We've seen that. Exactly. That is a bad idea, right? That's maybe where the Nate Hobbs stuff starts coming into play. But if you want him to be, you know, play 80% of your slot snaps, I am totally fine with Javon Buller doing that. Why is Evan Williams ever off the field? He got the interception at the end of the damn game.
And I love Javon Bullard. I'm a huge Javon Bullard guy. I am, you know, I might captain the Javon Bullard ship.
I'm a bigger Evan Williams guy.
Yeah, same thing.
Yes.
A million percent the same thing.
I can like Javon Bullard. I'm a bigger Evan Williams guy. He should never be off the field.
Ever. I'll talk about this again on my grades article this week. If anyone has the chance, it's been all season, but last week against the Giants one was for sure. And then what was the week? The Eagles. Go watch the Eagles game. Watch the Giants game. He is around the ball on every damn play. Like it is remarkable for better or worse sometimes, but like sometimes he's obviously, you know, he's giving up a completion here, or there, whatever, but like he is always, and I mean always, around the ball. Like you could put a cut up, like even if he doesn't quite get there in time, like there'll be a tackle and then you like look right next to it, there's Evan Williams. Or like you'll see like a somebody making a tackle and then like Evan Williams is like around the ankle somewhere. Like every play he is around at a level that I don't know that I have seen maybe since like Woodson or something like that. Like it is remarkable how many plays that he gets involved in just flying around from everywhere. I love, love, love Evan Williams. We'll be right back. Anybody else feeling the financial squeeze right now? Everything just feels a little bit tougher, and I, for one, don't have the time to constantly monitor my finances and see where every little dollar and cent is being allocated. Thankfully, Chime understands that every dollar counts. That's why when you set up direct deposit through Chime, you can get access to fee-free features like free overdraft coverage, getting paid up to 2 days early, and so much more. I highly encourage that you take the time to learn more over at chime.com/packaday. Not only do we use Chime as a family, but I know multiple friends who use Chime and swear by it as well. The early payments, the free overdraft coverage, and access to over 47,000 free ATMs have not only been beneficial, but have come in huge in some really difficult situations. I didn't even mention the ability to get daily balance updates and real-time transaction alerts, which have helped shape our spending habits. So work on your financial goals through Chime today. Open an account in 2 minutes at chime.com/packaday. That's chime.com/packaday. Chime feels like progress.
Chime is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank NA or Stride Bank NA. Members FDIC. Spot me eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Timing depends on submission of payment file. Fees apply at out-of-network ATMs. Bank ranking and number of ATMs according to U.S. News and World Report 2023. Chime checking account required.
Guys, it's 2025. The days of going to the doctor for emergencies are over. No more waiting until walking it off for 6 months doesn't work or your fingers are numb from texting, "I'm fine." It's time to take our health more seriously and get things checked out when we need to. That's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc makes it easier than ever by helping to find the right doctor quickly and easily. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare high-quality, in-network doctors and click to instantly book an appointment. You can filter for doctors who take your insurance, are located nearby, and are highly rated by verified patients. Appointments made through ZocDoc happen fast, typically within just 24 to 72 hours of booking, and more often than not, you can even get same-day appointments. I've already had family members who have used ZocDoc and loved it, and I'll absolutely be utilizing it on all my appointments from here on out. So stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/packaday to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/packaday. Again, ZocDoc, ZocDoc.com/packaday.
Yeah, he gets pretty aggressive too when they're holding their two shell and then post snap they're rotating into cover three or something like that, and he's just coming into the box screaming against a run play, and you're like, this dude is, I don't think he knows he can get hurt. Like, he might change his mentality after he breaks his collarbone or something like that one time, but for right now he is fearless. He doesn't look like he realizes the damages of an NFL football field right now.
It's going to take one collision with like a Derrick Henry doing the same stuff to be like, maybe I shouldn't do that. But it's that's the tough part about it. Sometimes, like, this is an apples to apples, but Ja used to have a level of tenacity to him where he would kind of get constantly involved, not to that extent, but like he would get scrappy and involved in plays. and then shoulder injury, and that died really, really fast, like overnight. Like there was an overnight realization of like, I'm just going to cover from now on. I don't need to do that again. And he was a totally different player from that point forward. So that's, yeah, that's a tough part sometimes.
Yep.
Just really quick to wrap up defense. I've talked to a lot of people this week. A lot of people have asked me the same thing. It's a really interesting Rorschach test of this Giants game of like allowing 20 points, 200 yards for Winston, touch or no touchdown and a pick. 3.77 yards per carry on the ground. Their leading receiver had like 50 yards receiving. You had a, technically two turnovers, two sacks. You had a big fourth down stop. It's a really bad team with like everybody missing. You're on the road. So like there's all these different factors. Was this a good performance by the defense? Yes or no?
No. No, because you didn't come
to the same place.
Because I think you have to hold that standard because what this whole game was on the Giants offense versus Packers defense side was both sides waiting for the other side to make a mistake, and the Packers never really made those mistakes that allowed the explosive plays downfield. But when the Giants made their mistakes, which was obviously going to be Jameis Winston putting the ball into peril, the Packers didn't come down with it, and that's why they ended up being on the field for so long. I mean, they got to play better. If you're throwing four interceptions, you have to come down with one, more than one.
Yeah, five interceptions and only
it was five.
Yeah,
it was four dropped.
Yeah, four dropped, one caught. Yeah.
Well, McDuffie didn't have to hit stick him. I don't know about that. That one, and then the, what was it the Keyshawn one where it was him and McKinney. And it was looking like outfielders like converging, you know what I mean? Like neither one of them knew.
McKinney talked about it today. McKinney talked about that there was like offensive pass interference. If you look at it like the very last second, Hyatt gives him a shove in the back, and it almost like forces him like into Nixon a little bit more. I've kind of talked this week of like McDuffie of like, all right, he's aggressively going towards the ball to the player, which is what you want. And then he sees the ball in the air and he's like, kind of, I think just sees it and goes towards the ball. I've watched it now on all 22 a few different times. And that's a tough one to defend. I don't know.
He truck sticked his buddy.
Yeah, he did. And I'm sure in the heat of the moment, again, he's looking at player, then ball. And then all of a sudden it's a collision, but like, my God, like that, yeah, it really looked like he, I don't know. That was just a really weird moment.
That's our mic next year, by the way, if we don't pay Quay, for the people who I know are in the comment section right now being like, $15 million a year? No way. Guys, we have two draft picks in the top 120. Please.
And no free agency money. And
please. Yeah. Please.
Yeah, I think Quay will be back. I'd be pretty surprised at this point if he wasn't. I guess the other thing, I know I've seen a lot of people calling for Hopper over McDuffie. Do you have a preference?
I don't think they're gonna.
I don't think so either. And I think
I just don't think that they're gonna do it. I think it would have been interesting. I think we talked about this in the summer where I was like, based off of what I saw in the preseason, I was like, if you're gonna have anyone push McDuffie for those linebacker three snaps, it shouldn't have been Isaiah Simmons. It should have been Tyron Hopper. He clearly took that next step. So I don't mind it. Like, I get the line of thinking, but I think people are overrating how much work goes into, like, position battles in season. And it's not just, like, game planning and making sure that, you know, you're getting scout team looks and stuff like that during the week. That should have been something you did in training camp.
Yeah.
Which is, again, why I was surprised about the Belton thing that Buckus mentioned earlier. I was like, oh, he is getting guard reps. And they did just start doing that in the season. That's pretty crazy. Interesting.
Yep. Noteworthy to say the least. Anything on the injury report stand out to you?
Bullard's on there with an ankle. That's new. Outside of that, I mean, you ever hear of this Josh Jacobs guy? Heard he's a pretty big deal. Like the other stuff people for the most part know about. I just thought it was interesting about the ankle. It's something that I'd pay attention to because that's like really the only new injury that we didn't know about already.
Yeah.
on the Viking side, Fries, I believe, Will Fries.
Yep.
He's their right guard. They paid him a bunch of money this offseason. I think that deal actually offset the comp pick that they would have gotten for Daniel Jones. So, yeah, bozos. They pissed away a fourth-round pick for nothing. Gosh, man. Don't be that team.
Yeah.
Don't. You want the comp picks, guys. That's how the Ravens are built, all these other teams that you guys say that you guys want to be like. So he's banged up. He was an estimated out because I don't even think that they had a practice. Like, it didn't even say at the bottom that it was a walkthrough. It was just like they did not have a practice today,
which I thought did not have an official practice. So participation is an estimation. Yep.
Right. And usually if it's a walkthrough, it says walkthrough. Yeah. And that's for us and them. It usually says that.
It was a practice for JJ McCarthy only. Just JJ McCarthy on air was the only one that was practicing.
Was it JJ or was it not? We can get into
it was
that.
Not, in it's tough to say.
And then Jonathan Grenard. One of their pass rushers, another guy that they paid a lot of money, not this past offseason, but the offseason before, he's also out. So something to watch out for there. They might be a little bit short on the line of scrimmage.
And then Ryan Kelly coming back from he's got the 21-day practice window open. He was listed as a likely full participant coming back from the concussion. He would be a big addition to their offensive line at center, especially if Fries is out too. So that's the other one too. And then just on the going back to the Packers, Carl Brooks, not a participant.
Yes, that was the other. Yeah. When the heck did that happen?
Yeah, he went out of the game for a little bit. He was down on the ground for a little bit. They didn't make mention of it on the actual game, but he goes down. But he did come back and play in the game. Yeah. So usually when you come back and play, I'm thinking like, well, you're probably going to be limited, but he was a non-participant. So that's that's another one to keep an eye on.
Well, they have five on the roster. They seem to like Stackhouse. Stackhouse played more than Brinson in this one, which is the first time that he's done that when they've had them both up at the same time. Yep. That's really the only – I mean, we already talked about the Gary thing. We talked about the tight ends. That's the only other interesting thing I think I got from, like, a depth chart standpoint. That's another one to watch throughout the week. I mean, the Jacobs one is going to be big to me too. I mean, we talked about – I don't understand the Emmanuel Wilson third down stuff instead of Chris Brooks – last week. This week I'm seeing people being like Ewing theory, Josh Jacobs stuff, where they're like, how good even is he? And I'm like, dude, are you guys kidding me? We just played the Giants. Like, they're the worst run defense in football. Josh Jacobs is a very good running back. Almost all of his yards are after contact this year. I am not on the boat of this team is going to be better without Josh Jacobs. I would like to put myself out there and stand on a limb saying that, because for some reason that is like circulating.
Around. Yeah. Some of the stuff that gets thrown around sometimes is the most absurd stuff of like, this is, you know, is Josh Jacobs actually good? Yeah. Josh Jacobs is actually good. Yeah.
I also think this could be a sneaky Chris Brooks week, because we haven't played a lot of these blitzing teams. And
it should be.
He should be out there, you know, picking up Van Ginkle or whoever is blitzing.
I don't care if Jacobs is healthy enough to play on obvious third and passing situations. Chris Brooks should be in the game in this game.
It should be the Lions game plan all over again, where it's like, no, if we're blocking him up, Brooks is in the game.
Yeah, 100%. Totally agree. Just really quick before we get to Packers, Vikings, and any other notes on that, I got a random one for you. Is there anyone, since we're on the topic of, you know, names circulating that aren't actually good but are actually very good at football, like Josh Jacobs, is there anyone out there, offense, defense, I'll let you go in any direction? Maybe there's not, there doesn't have to be. Anyone that you think is playing better or worse than what the consensus is, or what the seeming consensus is out there for the Packers?
I already brought out the Keyshawn Cape. I would have to. So someone who's sneaky playing worse, Edgerrin Cooper.
Interesting.
I know everyone loves him. I just think he's been a lot shakier this year. Like, not just in terms of like some of the tackling on the perimeter, but we've given up a bunch of yards at the linebacker position. That's not just Cooper. Quay's had some mix up. There was one in this game where Jameis is throwing a glance behind him and they're both covering the hook flat. But or the hook, not the flat.
Yep.
But Quay is supposed to be playing the pole runner.
Deep center.
And yeah, he's supposed to be playing the pole runner in Tampa too, which is basically like the middle of the field safety type of thing. And it just it splits like this, and there's one linebacker over here and two over here, and it's just throw right down the middle. And
easiest,
I'm just like,
easiest throw you could possibly
Quay. Imagine. Quay, no, you're like Quay, you've been better this year. Where the hell did this come from, dude? Yeah,
that's and like it, the weird thing is like again, Cooper had it. Cooper had that play to make, and so he just had to stay in his zone. He just got over aggressive for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah. So the linebackers are a little frustrating in the passing game. I think both of them have a little bit of a share in that. And then Cooper, like, I mean, he was really, really, really good his rookie year. Yeah. And I just think that, like, some of that, I don't even know what the word I'm looking for is. I guess, like, that perception has just kind of, like, rolled over into this year. And he hasn't had, like, these big mistakes that people realize that he's not playing at the same type of level. But to me, he's taken a little bit of a sophomore dip for sure.
You haven't seen the impact plays for sure. And he had that opportunity to get off the field with the tackle on the screen pass, missed that one.
Don't hurt.
There's a few plays too, whether it's just, again, positioning, alignment, some things like that, that are just a little bit off this year. Doesn't feel like he's triggering quite as fast in some things. It's just, yeah. I don't think it's bad, but it's not, again, I would agree with you to the level that it was a year ago.
Yeah. And I think both of the linebackers are dealing with injuries too, right? Like popping up on the injury report for the same injury at the start of the week, every week now.
Yeah.
So it could easily, I think they're just fighting through stuff. Yeah. I think it's football, baby. You're going to get, it's mid November after you've played what, 11 weeks of NFL football. Like, yeah, guys are going to be banged up and pushing through.
All right, Packers, Vikings, final thoughts. What are you looking forward to? What are you keeping an extra eye on this week?
Oh, we talked about some of it already. God, this quarterback.
Yeah, we haven't really touched on that.
Oh my God, dude. I am so excited. So excited to get.
How's our buddy Thor doing? Because he was pretty all in on the JJ McCarthy, as all in as you could possibly be on the JJ McCarthy train.
I don't know. I'm gonna record with the Reef tomorrow. And I have like lists of things that I need to bring up with him. I have the JJ McCarthy's quarterback coach had to put out an apology statement to Chris Carter earlier.
It's not his current quarterback coach, is it? Was this his college quarterback coach or is it his current quarterback?
No,
coach?
It's like his trainer, like his,
oh,
his
it was, okay.
private
okay.
trainer. Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Yes. So no, this is going to be so fun, dude. This kid is not an NFL quarterback, and I think that they knew that this offseason. I don't think that there's alignment in that building, because that's what I've been told this entire offseason. I told you about this a little bit a month ago, and I was like, pay attention to this JJ McCarthy thing, because there are people there are many people in that building that wanted Aaron Rodgers, and there are many people who wanted the JJ McCarthy experience to play out, which I kind of understand, because they like don't have any picks, they don't have much cap space, like they're not in a good spot to sort of like reload this thing. It would have kind of been a 1 year for Aaron Rodgers and then let this thing burn to the ground type of situation. But I think that because of how loud this stuff has gotten, I think there's going to be a lot of finger pointing, and the fact that it hasn't gone well, like I could easily see like whatever Diana Russini, Don Van Natta, whatever feature week 17, the morning of that game, being like, here are all the crazy things that happened in Minnesota this year and why they don't like each other. So I love this moment that we're in with Vikings fans right now, especially when they thought that they were going to have their little Tebow mania thing and they end up losing to the Chicago Bears at the last moment.
Yeah.
They already created this alternative personality for JJ McCarthy 9, right? And rode with that, and that has already crashed into the ground. I'm so happy. This is what's giving me life for this game. I think it's going to be a mess, man. You look at what they did last game. If you look at what they did in the first half and what they did in the second half, they basically abandoned the passing game on first and second downs in the second half of that game against Chicago. Dude, they know. They know he's not the guy.
Yep.
This is going to get goofy down the stretch. If we lose to this team, I think I'd be way more disappointed than losing to Jameis, for sure.
It would be one of the biggest, like, it would be up there with Cleveland for me, for sure. Like,
I'm back, I'm think, back onto, you know, Matt hot seat if we lose this game.
It's funny because the line got put out and it's like Packers by 6.5 and everyone's like, what, how could the Packers? I'm like, have you haven't been watching Minnesota. You've not, dude, been watching Minnesota.
Every chart right now is a JJ McCarthy chart. Every single one of them. And it's good. We got people blaming KOC who made it work with, he's made it work with everyone. He's made it work with everyone other than this guy. There's a couple people, not that many, a couple of them, who are blaming Justin Jefferson for some of this stuff. It's amazing.
It's incredible.
Extend Kwesi forever. Keep JJ McCarthy. Yeah, fire KOC.
Fire O'Connell. Yeah.
Fire O'Connell. Fire Flores.
Get Flores out of there for sure. Yes.
Yeah. I ride with 9. Hashtag skull. Dude, this is I love it. We should undress him on Sunday. He's not an NFL quarterback.
Yeah. This should be Green Bay's signature win. I mean, not signature, I mean the fact that like it's a big win, but like this should be their double digit win this year. It really should be. Hopefully they can do it.
The worst quarterback we've faced this year. I'd take Jacoby over him. I'd take Jameis over him. I'd take Flacco over him.
Bryce Young, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's the worst starting quarterback. I mean, if we face,
I guess, fair.
Yeah. He's the worst starting quarterback in the league. So
if you want to get into shock jock stuff, there's a guy in Cleveland right now. He's about to make a start.
That would be the other one, but they, you know, obviously Green Bay played Flacco when they played Cleveland. So
we didn't get the Baltimore Ravens guys when they were trotting out whoever, like Cooper Rush or whatever. So
no, that would have been nice too. Maybe we still will, but yeah, I have a feeling we're going to get prime Lamar at that point. It is funny though. You mentioned the charts for McCarthy. Usually when you see a dot that far in like the low corner or whatever, it's like, that was like a 2-game sample size or like a 1-game sample size. It's like, no, not this one. Yeah. We'll be right back.
Dude. The ankle injury.
Healthy
enough to be your emergency quarterback.
Number 3 quarterback,
jumping up and down on the sidelines. And they're like, it's the ankle injury. They're like, maybe a couple more weeks. And then like Wentz is just completely broken. And they're like, my God, we're going to have to play JJ McCarthy.
Well, the funniest thing was like, the McCarthy thing was always okay. Even if it's not a soft benching, I was saying like, you do realize if McCarthy was amazing, he's back in the game a couple weeks prior to that. Like you are putting him out there. He's your franchise guy.
Like Wentz was like dying in like an international game,
dead in one of those games. He was half dead in one of those games. And they're still like, no, that's who we want in there. I will officially state, we will get a Max Brosmer start before the end of the year. We will definitely get a Max Brosmer start before the end of the year is my prediction.
All right. This will be fun. I have a text.
Uh-oh.
From a guy in the league. Oh, this is a very hot take still at the time. This was when all the Caleb Williams stuff was coming out.
Okay.
If you remember that. August 30th at 8:36 a.m. I get a text from a guy in the league. Who starts first this season? Max Brosmer, Tyrod Taylor, or Tyson Bagent? So that tells you kind of what league circles are hearing a little bit about.
So the right answer was Tyrod Taylor. And then
the right answer was Tyrod.
The next answer will be Brosmer. And we won't see Bagent and barring an injury this year. But
jump the shark on that one. But
if that might be anyone besides Ben Johnson, that might be more of a fun, interesting situation with Caleb. I think Ben's helped. Caleb's been mostly fine. I don't think I shouldn't even speak on it. I haven't watched enough of him to say one way or the other.
He but missed a couple of throws last week, but he also hit a couple of, he's going to be all right.
Yeah.
He's going to be all right. Unfortunately.
I think so too. Justice, I think we're going to be able to break it down next week. We might have some Thanksgiving issues, but we'll definitely talk again very, very soon. Promote whatever you'd like to promote, my friend.
APC, go check that out. Writing about so many things there. A hell of a pitch from me. Frozen Tundra Frequencies, I usually go on after the game there. I don't know what the schedule, like I might record with Andy before I do the Frozen Tundra Frequencies this week because of just the way all the scheduling ends up working out and all the travel for holidays and stuff. So that's that. And then I wanted to plug one more thing. Oh, go to my Twitter on Friday. I'll try to pin it. The conversation that I'll have with Arif, because I'm really going to try to get under his skin with this JJ McCarthy stuff.
I can't
if he
wait.
Doesn't hang up on me, I haven't done my job. I haven't done my job. I'm just trying to piss him off.
Okay, I've one final question for you, and then we'll get out of here. The starting quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings in week one next year is blank.
Someone from this, Mac Jones?
That's who my answer would be as well.
Yeah. I think Mac Jones. Who's in the system? I was like, Mariota's technically done it. I'm like, they're not going to go for Mariota. Yeah, Mac Jones. I mean, that makes a decent amount of sense.
It does to me too. I think unless it's Brosmer and like all of a sudden he plays like two games this year and he looks incredible, pulls a.
I still haven't seen the kid play.
Yeah. In preseason, he looked pretty good. He looked pretty dang good in preseason. Doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot though. So yeah, I would say Mac Jones makes a ton of sense too. It'd be interesting. I think San Fran would be willing to do it for the right price still. I don't think they'd be super.
Is he
scared.
On a contract for multiple years?
He's got one more. I'm almost positive. I think he's got one more.
Trade the damn pick, man. Yeah, send the fifth or whatever.
Yeah, he signed a 2-year, $8.4 million deal with the 49ers. So he's under contract next year. Base like salary
$4.5 million.
$2.8 million is the base salary. So yeah, with
trade a fourth for it.
Yeah, you're gonna get like a $3 million contract for it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
maybe even trade a third for it at that
point. I think it might take something like that. Other teams could easily be. It depends on what happens in Pittsburgh with Aaron. What happens in Cleveland?
I don't want Aaron in Minnesota.
I don't think he will. I think he just stays in Pittsburgh, right? If he plays another year, I don't know. Maybe not.
Yeah, I mean, I do think he was interested in getting back into the system, but Arthur Smith coached with LaFleur, so it's not that different, but
I do think that there's a non-zero. Like I talked about it last year of like, hey, the Aaron makes sense for Minnesota, and everyone's like, no, it's not gonna happen. The Aaron Minnesota thing is not an impossibility, I don't think, in 2026 either. Like it would be the ultimate, just like another Favre Rodgers in this crazy quest thing. But
I'd rather not.
Yeah, me neither.
Rather not.
But it's not. I don't think it's gonna be off the table at all. Unless Rodgers is just like completely, I'm done, which you know how quick he is at making decisions right away in the offseason. I'm sure there's not going to be any flirtation with any other teams if Minnesota would go all in on Aaron and they're like aggressive and they're like, you're our guy, you're our savior. God,
dude, with Jordan Addison and Justin
Aaron
Jefferson.
Jones, we're going to bring Aaron Jones back. Who else do you want?
Yeah, tackles. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, thank you. I don't need the NKOC.
Matt Jones, Aaron
Flores is still there. Gosh dang, no.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Aaron, just get healthy this week. I need you to beat the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, you still own the Bears. You just own the Bears this week. That would be very,
I don't need
very
Mason Rudolph. I need the Bears to lose some football games. Here's your quick playoff. Here's how we can end this. Quick playoff outlook.
Okay.
The way the NFC is looking right now, you have three teams that have over a 90% chance to make the postseason. It is the Seahawks, it is the Rams, and it is the Philadelphia Eagles. An NFC South team has to make the playoffs.
Yep.
Okay. Outside of that, there's basically four teams fighting for three spots in the postseason. So that's really, if you're a Packers fan, that's really what you care about.
Yep.
All you need to do is not be the worst of the three of the four teams to finish the year, because they're all basically the same, you know, win-loss. It is the Packers, it is the Lions, it is the Bears, and it is the San Francisco 49ers. Do not finish fourth
of those
in that race of four. So we're rooting against the Bears. If we weren't already for some reason at every opportunity, Aaron, I need you to get healthy. I do not need Mason Rudolph to give the Bears another lucky win.
the 49ers have a much easier schedule than the teams in the NFC North as well, which is worth noting. I looked it up as well. The next three games against the NFC North, which obviously the Vikings is, you know, less of a playoff opponent type thing, but obviously the Lions and the Bears are. Next three games in the NFC North, if they go 3-0 per the New York Times simulator, they have a 97% chance to make the playoffs. If they go 2-1, about an 80% chance to make the playoffs. If they go 1-2, it's about a 50% chance to make the playoffs. If they go 0-3, it's a 19% chance to make the playoffs. So keep it at 2-1 in these next three games, please, as well. 3-0 would be great.
Yes. Win your games.
Win your damn games. Follow him at JUMOSQ on social media, acmepackingcompany.com. You can find me at Andy Herman NFL. That's going to do it for Justice and I today. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.